Is this thing on? Word.
This is the Rookie Sports Report, hosted by Matthew Frizzell.
4 runs off the Detroit Tigers, who are the 10th worst in all of baseball.
And Logan Weber.
But this man was swallowed whole by a whale.
Presented by 96.9, 99.9, and AM 1060, ESPN, The Jock.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
I'll tell you what I love, Logan.
What's that?
Will Ferrell. The Cowboys losing. I know that sounds weird. We're thinking, wait. You're a Cowboys fan. How can you be happy that you lost? Because the Cowboys in a 2-point loss to the Super Bowl contending Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, only lost by 2 points. And honestly, if Greg Zuerlein doesn't miss 2 field goals, or if a offensive pass interference is called on Chris Godwin there at the end,
fair.
Cowboys get a win and get a lot of respect. But they did gain some respect last night, of course, losing 31-29. And folks, I'm so ecstatic to say this. Dak is back, baby. There's no doubt about it. That man was balling last night in Tampa Bay against a very good Tampa Bay defense, by the way, Logan.
Yes, sir. Needed it.
Yeah, on your fantasy team, you needed it.
I needed it. So my fantasy draft for my league was last week, and it occurred last Friday at 7 o'clock. Well, for those of you who are familiar, I am like sort of the voice for high school sports here at Zimmer Communications Springfield. So I was at Springfield Catholic High School doing Springfield Catholic against McDonald County last Friday at 7 o'clock. So I couldn't draft. Auto draft had to kick in. And I was very, very frustrated with my auto draft. I did not think my auto draft did a very good job. But I've made some trades and made some deals. I will say my auto draft did draft a top 5 player in the NFL. My auto draft did get Travis Kelce. I then traded Travis Kelce for Sony Michel, Miles Sanders, and Noah Fant because I didn't have any running backs. Well, you know, as luck would have it, I now have too many running backs because now I've got Sony Michel, I've got J.D. McKissic, and somehow, someway, my auto draft did something that I thought was asinine in the moment, but turns out to be possibly the smartest move of the season. Shout out my auto draft. My auto draft decided to pick Tyson Williams from the Baltimore Ravens. If you're not familiar with that name, neither was I. He was the 3rd string running back for the Baltimore Ravens. Well, this week, J.K. Dobbins, the starting running back for the Ravens, goes down, out for the year. Backup running back Gus Edwards, torn ACL yesterday, out for the year. So my auto draft picked the 3rd string running back for the Ravens, and within a week, he is now the starter and is expected to get the majority of the carries for the Ravens this upcoming week.
Because the Ravens love to run the football. Like, honestly, like any person knows this. If you auto draft, you're probably just going to win. You're going to win the entire league because auto draft, it's just like Caesars sports betting or just Las Vegas bettors. They just know something that we don't. And man, will it come back to haunt you. Oh, man. Auto draft.
It's something else.
Like, Ned Reynolds in our, like, Jock Fantasy League, he auto drafted. I'm pretty damn sure he's going to go, like, 16-0 or 17-0.
That's
like,
nuts.
He's going to, I mean, he drafted a good team. Or he didn't draft, like, for say, a good team, because usually auto draft doesn't. But that's the thing. They usually don't draft good players, yet they somehow just perform out of nowhere.
Yeah, guys that you didn't expect to have good seasons just explode, and you're like,
right.
Well, how did auto draft know this?
And how did I not know this? How did I miss this?
That's a fact. Yeah. But I will say, yeah, Dak Prescott was huge for my fantasy team. He was projected to get 20.19 points, got me 33.42, 42 of 58 passing, 403 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick.
Which wasn't his fault, by the way.
Right.
CD could not catch that ball or whatever. It went right through his hands. He could have caught it, but didn't. But also, CD did have a nice game last night.
And then I also, sorry, Matt, I had to point out, I also have the Cowboys kicker, Greg Zuerlein.
Ugh.
He is, shout out Missouri Western up in St. Joe, Missouri. That was my college's biggest rival.
Yeah.
Mo Least. Whatever you want to call him.
There you go.
He made three field goals. He missed two. But one of them was from 50-plus.
It was 60, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that 135-yarder that he missed at the very beginning looks really, really bad.
Yeah.
Because you get a one-point lead. And, Logan, like, the Cowboys were driving and everything, and I'm just thinking, like, dude, do two things here. One, don't force Zuerlein to make a kick here, and don't leave time on the clock. Well, the Cowboys did both. And, of course, Tom Brady, like he's done for the past 40 years now, it seems like, just got the ball, drove right down the field, had a little bit of help with a non-PI call there from Chris Godwin. I'm still going to be upset about that, probably until next Sunday when the Cowboys play again. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, officiating's a part of the game. Tom Brady, it's still a part of the game somehow. That man's going to be playing and getting Social Security checks. My gosh.
That's just what he's done for 20 years, since 2001. It's just the same ending to the book playing out over and over and over again. If you give Tom Brady the ball back with too much time on the clock, he's going to make you pay.
Especially when you're only down by 1 point, or even if you have to get into field goal range and there's a minute left with Tom Brady on the other sideline, good luck. Because 9.9 times out of 10, you're going to wind up being the loser there.
Fact. Absolute fact.
All right. Speaking of winners and losers, we're going to have a lot of them this week with our NFL Pick'em Challenge here on the Rookie Sports Report podcast. Actually did a little bit of it today on the Sports Reporters with Ned Reynolds. Me, Scott Purrier, Ned, Lucas Harrell, and Chuck Booms actually got some picks. And
there you go.
Ned doing a little old-fashioned. He actually wrote them down. You know, Ned, he's a bit of a fine wine. He's aged, so he likes to write down his picks on a piece of paper and write them down. And, you know, also, of course, Ned's probably going to win that league or whatever, that Pick'em Challenge. But anyway, we are picking our picks here, obviously, on the Rookie Sports Report podcast here. First up, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning 31-29 over the Cowboys. So,
I did?
Got that out. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought of that. I made that pick at around the 7-second mark of that fourth quarter there in Tampa Bay right after. As soon as the ball was left off of Suckup's leg, I said, yep, 31-29 bucks. They're going to win. Anyway, I digress, and I'm being facetious, of course. First game up, Seahawks at Colts. Logan, Seahawks or Colts, who do you got?
I'll take the Colts in this one.
Ooh.
There's so much surrounding the Seahawks right now. I think the Seahawks are a talented team, and with Russell Wilson at quarterback, you can't count them out. But in a way, you sort of can, because it sounds like Russell Wilson doesn't want to be the quarterback of the Seahawks. There's been so much news about, news comes out that he doesn't want to be the quarterback of the Seahawks. He wants out. And then it's like, well, they don't want to let him go. And then Russell Wilson comes out and says, I don't want to go. And it's just, there's so much contradiction in what's being said right now between the organization, Wilson, the media. There's just so much going on that nobody really knows, it seems like. So I like the Colts in this one. I think there's a lot less surrounding that. I think the Colts have a much better defense, a much better rushing attack at the same time as well. So I like the Colts in this one.
You know, honestly, dude, I'm with you. I think the Colts are going to win this one as well. I really think the Colts are going to be a team that's going to be taken by storm. They're going to take the NFL by storm.
They're going to surprise some people,
I think they will as well. I think Carson Wentz, if he can stay healthy, obviously, will get back to that form that he had of being that guy that he was in Philadelphia. But that's, of course, a big what if. So I'm going to go with the Colts as well. I've kind of screwed up the system here that I have on my computer. But anyway, like I said, the Colts and Seahawks at noon. The Seahawks are a 3-point favorite. Jaguars at Texans. Who the you-know-what cares? Oh, my goodness. Be interesting to see how Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer do in their first game in the NFL. It is in Houston. Jaguars are a 3-point favorite. I have to go Jaguars as well. I'll go with the Jags.
Agreed. I also will go Jaguars here. I think the Jaguars offensively, defensively are a more talented team. Trevor Lawrence in his first game as starting quarterback. You know, you lose Travis Etienne, but you still have James Robinson, who is a proven running back in the NFL. You know, he has been a starter throughout his career, especially in Jacksonville. So there's not really anything to be said there. He was an undrafted free agent, but he played. He played a lot last year for the Jaguars. He had 1,000 rushing yards last season. So you know he can get the job done. Averaged 4.5 yards a carry, 7 touchdowns. And this offensive line for the Jaguars is improved. You know, Cam Robinson is getting there. But you've got a great left guard and a great center in Andrew Norwell and Brandon Linder. That's going to help you a lot, in my opinion. And the defense has got some talent. Josh Allen and Miles Jack leading that linebacking core at weak side and strong side linebacker. You know, your corners, I'm not overly sure about. C.J. Henderson's a good corner. Shaquille Griffin has shown flashes. It's definitely not the defense that we saw 4 years ago when they went to the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
It's definitely not that defense.
Sure.
But I feel like the Texans, with no disrespect at all to Tyrod Taylor, but I feel like the Texans are going to be one of the worst teams in football.
They'll be lucky if they win 4 games
the Texans are
god awful.
The Texans are staring down the barrel of what could be a top 5 pick.
A top 3 pick. Let's be honest here. I mean, they are not good and they won't be good. No, like I said, no disrespect to Tyrod Taylor and anybody out of the 4 or 5 listeners that we have here on the podcast that are Texans fans, but Houston with all the on-field and off-field issues, yeah, they're going to be trash. I'm going to pick with the Jaguars as well. Dirty bird battle here. Eagles at the Falcons. Falcons are a 3-point favorite. You know, I don't think the Falcons are going to be as bad as people are going to project them to. They still have Matt Ryan. I think they have a generational talent at tight end / wide receiver in Kyle Pitts. I know their defense is really, really suspect, but I'm going to go with the Falcons here at home. Falcons are a 3-point favorite.
I'm having difficulty with this pick because there is, like you said, there's a lot of question marks surrounding this Philadelphia Eagles team and the Falcons, frankly. But when you look at it on paper, I'm excited to watch this Eagles team play. You've got Jalen Hurts, who showed flashes last year that he's got talent, that he can be a starter in this league. Miles Sanders is getting some serious run at the running back position now as the starter. And you've got a very, very young receiving core. Quez Watkins, Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward. I mean, it's a very, very young wide receiver core. And you've got two good tight ends with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. The offensive line, I'm not really sure about the left side, but the right side is strong. It's been the same right side for years now with Jason Kelce at center, Brandon Brooks, and Lane Johnson. That right side of that offensive line is going to be solid, as it usually is. The front four is going to be solid, as it usually is, led by Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. You've got Derek Barnett at the right defensive end now as well, Javon Hargrave at left defensive tackle. So I'm not really sure. The linebackers are suspect, to say the least. But the corners, the defensive backfield looks good. Anthony Harris, Steven Nelson, Darius Slay. You know, that defensive, that secondary looks like it could turn some heads. But it's really going to depend, I believe, a lot on the receiving core from each of these teams. You know, can Kyle Pitts show something? Because now, I mean, looking at it, the Falcons have two very good tight ends as well, with Kyle Pitts and Hayden Hurst. Pitts is the starter, which shows you what kind of talent Kyle Pitts has to replace a guy like Hayden Hurst, who I believe was a Pro Bowler a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some confidence to be had there with that. You still got Calvin Ridley at wide receiver. He's a star. But aside from that, who knows? That offensive line in Atlanta, who really knows? The defense in Atlanta, aside from Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones and Dante Fowler Jr., I'm not really sure about. Right. So I would say probably I would pick the Philadelphia Eagles in my eyes. I would pick the Eagles.
Finally, we have deferring picks. I said we agreed with the first two, but yeah, we're going to put an L next to the Eagles, not for the loss, but for Logan Weber, my co-host here on the Rookie Sports Report podcast. But yeah, that's true. The Eagles do have a up-and-coming core, and hopefully it's not up-and-coming this year because my Cowboys got to win that division, dude. We got to make the playoffs. But, you know, honestly, dude, and I forgot about Hayden Hurst, they may just put Pitts as, like, a wideout, like, put him in
He'll
the slot.
He'll be a lot of slot, yeah. A slot wing-type receiver a lot of times.
And then have, like, Hurst on the line or even in spread formation, spread him out towards the side. But, yeah, I know, there's a lot of receiving talent on both sides here, and it's...
Be that second man on a trip set or something, not in the slot, but in that second position, sure. That sort of middle receiver spot, running drags and digs and maybe a few, like, post-route slants, things like that. You know, get him into the middle of the field in space and have him, you know, be one-on-one with a corner or a safety at the second or third level.
Chargers at the football team. L.A. at Washington, the Washington Red Hogs, or the football team. Anyway, football team against Los Angeles. Washington is a one-point favorite in this game. I still think I'm on the Justin Herbert hype train. I will say that. But Washington's defense is elite, dude. With their front four, their defensive backs, linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties. One-point favorite. I'm going to go with Washington here, and I hate picking NFC East opponents, but I can't see Washington not winning this game. So I'm going to go with the football team here.
I'm going with the Chargers.
All right.
I'm going with the Chargers. I love me some Fitzmagic, but I just don't know. There's more consistency surrounding a second-year quarterback in Justin Herbert than there is surrounding Ryan Fitzpatrick. I have more faith in Justin Herbert. I have more faith in the weapons that Justin Herbert has available. The offensive line for the Chargers, Corey Linsley and Brian Bulaga at right tackle. You know, they've got a strong offensive line. The Redskins have some guys on their offensive line too. A perennial Pro Bowler, All Pro guy, and a guy like Brandon Scherff at right guard. And I agree with you. That Redskins defense looks good. I just think that the Chargers have more talent offensively than the Redskins do. This may be one of those games that it's like, you know, first one to 17, 20, something like that. I don't know if the Redskins offense has enough firepower to get there.
I believe in Fitzmagic, and I think football team is going to win. Steelers at the Bills. Honestly, I don't like the line on this. The Bills are a 6.5-point favorite, but I think this game is going to be a lot closer than what people are going to expect. I'm still going to pick the Bills because I think they're just the more talented team, but don't count out the Steelers here in Buffalo.
I agree. Bills, Josh Allen is my preseason pick for MVP.
He better because he's on my fantasy team.
You know, I would rather it be Dak Prescott, and I think you might too, but that's just one of those things.
Enjoy Prescott being the MVP, but then, like, you know, here's the thing I don't like about fantasy leagues. You have, like, your flex player, right?
Yep.
Why can't quarterbacks be in there?
Well, because quarterbacks put up way too many points for it to make sense.
I guess.
It's just one of those things. I like the Bills in this one as well. Josh Allen, my pick for MVP. I think that the weapons are there in Buffalo, especially a guy like Stephon Diggs, who led the AFC in receiving yards last year. I like the Bills in that one.
49ers at Lions. The 49ers are a 7.5-point favorite, and rightfully so, because they're playing Detroit. I don't care if it's in Detroit or not. 49ers, like I said in yesterday's podcast, I believe are a Super Bowl contender if they stay healthy, and they're going to start off with a big win in Detroit. I'm going to go with the 49ers.
I'm not even looking at this as a 49ers-Lions matchup. I'm looking at this as a battle of two Pro Bowl Iowa tight ends in George Kittle and TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
But, yeah, first game of the Jared Goff era in Detroit is going to get off with an L. The 49ers are going to win this game. They are one of the most talented teams in the NFL. They had injury issues all year last year. It seemed like half their freaking team was on the IR at some point or IL at some point. They're back. They're healthy. Jimmy G now has to look over his shoulder at all times because he knows Trey Lance is right there, and he knows that the fan base is going to be after Garoppolo if he does not perform. They're going to be clamoring for Trey Lance. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan and that 49ers organization, John Lynch, GM, they can only ignore that for so long. So Jimmy G knows he has to perform. And when you play a team that is definitely not at your level, like the Detroit Lions are, you've got to be able to win games like that, and I think the Niners will.
I don't think the Lions will be as bad as people are going to talk about. I think they'll win, like, 6-7 games this year.
I think they're a bottom five.
You think so?
Yep.
They'll have a top five pick. I hope he does well, though. Their coach there in Detroit.
Matt Patricia, I think is his name.
No,
right?
Patricia got fired.
Oh, he did. Who's the new guy?
I'll look that up afterwards because I know we're kind of.
Oh, he's the guy that was talking about
eating your knees off. Yeah, or just he's like an old high school coach.
Biting
people's
kneecaps off.
Yeah, that guy. But we don't know the name, and probably shouldn't say his name because he'll come into our studio and, you know, bite our knees off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Can't have that.
Vikings at the Bengals. The Vikings are a 3-point favorite. I don't think the Vikings are also going to be as bad as people are going to expect them. They have a really good defense, like you said. Joe Burrow is going to be rusty, and hopefully he's not running for his life like he did last season. I know somewhat, actually, receiving-wise, it's kind of even with the receivers that Cincinnati has and Minnesota has. But overall, the Vikings are a better team, and I'm going to pick them to win this game against the Bengals.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Vikings, I mean, you gotta, if you look past, you know, sort of the Kirk Cousins thing, the Vikings are one of the more talented teams in the NFL. You know, you've got Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, lots of weapons in Minnesota, a good offensive line in Minnesota as well. So I like the Vikings in this one as well.
Jets at Panthers. I think Sam Darnold gets his revenge against the Jets. He comes out and shows that he was a top. He comes out this season and shows that he was really a top five pick that the Jets just ruined because they love to do that. I'm going to go with the Panthers here against the Jets. I know it's one of those games that's like, who cares? You know, because
I'm having a tough one with this one.
Panthers right now are a 4-point favorite. Just if that helps.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, thinking about it, the Panthers have the stronger defense, not by much. I don't think either defense is incredibly strong by any means, but
right.
the Panthers do have a better defense in my eyes. So I'll agree with you. I like the Panthers. All
right. We both go with the Panthers here for that matinee. Cardinals at Titans. Titans are a 3-point favorite. I think the line on this should be even bigger than what it is because I think the Titans are, I think, top three, one of the best teams in the AFC. I think they kind of swept under the rug when you talk about the best teams. You think of the Chiefs, obviously, you think of the Bills. Well, who's that third team? You know? So I think it's honestly going to be the Titans in a blowout here, defeating the Cardinals at home.
I kind of like the Cardinals in this one.
Okay.
I think that, you know, it's sort of a Kyler Murray and what he's able to do with his feet, with his arm. You know, I think that sort of gives them the advantage, the Cardinals the advantage a little bit over the Titans because Tannehill is really just a give it to Derrick Henry, do some play action stuff. Ryan Tannehill has done a great job throughout his career. I think he's been a little bit, in my eyes, sort of overlooked. You know, he's been right. Underrated with the performances he's been able to put together in Tennessee. I mean, last season threw for 3,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, and only 7 picks. He had a quarterback rating of 106.5. You know, completed 65% of his passes. But a lot of what he does is set up or to set up Derrick Henry. But this Cardinals team has a lot of talent.
Right.
You know, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, they signed A.J. Green, you know, who has, we know what kind of talent A.J. Green has. Can he stay healthy?
Or
can
was,
he
yeah.
put together something? I just don't know. Max Williams at tight end. They've got some guys on that offensive line as well. Kelvin Beachum. Rodney Hudson, who they signed from the Raiders. They went and got J.J. Watt. Their edge rushers are scary good. Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, I mean, that's scary good. Linebackers could be very, very good. Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons, Marcus Golden. You know, those guys could definitely put some things together. You've got Buda Baker at safety. I like this Cardinals team. I think that they can. I think they can upset in this one. I'll pick the Cardinals.
All right. So I got the Titans. You got the Cardinals. Next game, Dolphins at the Patriots. The Patriots are a 3-point favorite at home. I think the Dolphins come out and win this one. I'm not sold on Tua Tagovailoa being a bust yet. You know, he kind of came in towards the middle of the season last year, showed some good moments, showed some bad moments. I think Tua comes out and shows that he is a very good quarterback. Not per se elite. I'm not there yet with him. But I think he'll take that next step to where he is a good quarterback, and I think the Dolphins win this one against the Patriots.
I agree with you 100%. I like the Dolphins in this one for one specific reason, and that is the secondary for this Dolphins team. Xavien Howard, Jason McCourty, Byron Jones.
Cowboy legend.
Yeah. I'm really impressed by the secondary for the Dolphins, especially Xavien Howard and Jason McCourty, and even Eric Rowe to some extent. But I just think that's going to be pretty tough in my eyes. One of the better secondaries, I believe, a top half secondary, right? 15 or higher, I would say, secondary in the NFL this season. That's Mac Jones's first real test in the NFL, right? Tua's been there. He's been an NFL quarterback. He's played against good teams. In my personal opinion, I think the Dolphins are going to win this game due to that secondary.
Broncos at Giants. This game will be lucky if it gets over 13 points for either side. Goodness. I think the Giants are a 3-point favorite. Let me check that real quick. I mean, how do you even pick a favorite in one of these games? I mean, yeah, oh, excuse me, the Broncos are a 3-point favorite. They're facing off against the Giants in New York. I still can't stand the Broncos because they took Patrick Surtain with their 9th overall pick, which should have been the Cowboys, but, you know, that is what it is. I won't hold that grudge for that much longer, I hope. But I'm a believer in Teddy Two Gloves. I'm not sure he's going to be an elite quarterback, but I think he'll do just enough to get a Broncos win in New York.
Yeah, Broncos defense leads them to the win in this one. I don't think there's much else to be discussed there. The quarterbacks are a bit of a wash, in my opinion. I think Danny Dimes can get there. I mean, I really do believe that. I don't think that he's got enough weapons just yet. He's got some. I'm not going to say he doesn't have anything. He's getting Saquon back. You know, Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard. However, Kenny Galladay and Saquon are both questionable to play. Evan Ingram is questionable to play. Left tackle Andrew Thomas is questionable. There's a lot of question marks surrounding that defense. Of course, John Ross is on the IR right now. The two tight ends said that the Giants were planning on running with Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph's questionable. Look at this. All four tight ends for the Giants right now are questionable or on the IR. Is there a COVID issue that I'm unaware about with the tight end room for the Giants? That's definitely a question mark. Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney are both questionable. John Ross on the IR. You know, a lot of injuries offensively, it looks like, for this Giants team. I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to put together a strong enough performance against that Broncos defense.
Right, and I feel like at some point the Broncos defense will get a score, and that's going to be the deciding factor of the game. Like, Surtain will get a pick six, or Von Miller will get like a strip fumble six or something like that, and the Broncos are going to win that one. So we both go Broncos there. Packers at Saints, and of course New Orleans can't play in New Orleans thanks to Hurricane Ida, so they're playing in Jacksonville. You know, this may be a bit of an oddball pick here, but I think Jameis Winston actually comes out and has a great season with New Orleans and leads them to a wild card spot. Actually, leading that division. Or no, correction, they play in Tampa Bay's division. Never mind. Leads them to a wild card spot. I know the Packers are going to have their revenge tour, their last dance or whatever with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb and Aaron Jones, but I'm going to go with New Orleans here, dude.
I'm surprised by that because I'm going with the Packers.
Okay.
For those names that you mentioned, Aaron Rodgers. That gives them a huge advantage because there's a lot of questions surrounding Jameis Winston right now. Are we going to see a different Jameis Winston? If we do see a different Jameis Winston, is it going to be a better version than what we saw before? Because what makes Jameis Winston is that sort of gunslinger attitude that he has. It gets him in trouble a lot. But I think the thing that the Saints don't want is to see Jameis Winston turn into a game manager. Because I don't think that fits him. I don't think that fits the way that his comfortability in playing the game. And I think that the Saints want him to be comfortable. Now, I think the Saints also want to prevent him from throwing 30 interceptions. But it's one of those things. You still want a guy like Jameis Winston to be... Jameis, in my eyes, is the kind of guy that is going to win you the game. Right? He may lose you the game, but he also might win you the game. You know? In my eyes, that's what you want. You don't want a guy that, you know, he's not going to win you the game. He's not going to lose you the game.
Sure.
Right? He's just sort of a wash type of quarterback. And those aren't the kind of guys that are going to have a lot of success in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Aaron Rodgers is not one of those guys. He is a gunslinger. Mahomes is a gunslinger. You know, Brady, people can say Brady is a game manager. Brady can sling it, okay? He hasn't won 7 Super Bowls because he's a game manager. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Okay? The guy has thrown for more touchdowns than anybody in NFL history. Okay? He throws the football, and he throws it a lot, and he'll sling it around. He'll make dangerous throws. We saw it last night during the Cowboys game.
To be fair, his 2 interceptions weren't really his fault.
I mean, yeah.
Fournette had one go right off his hands into the air, and then he threw an arm punt at the very end of the first half.
Yeah, but we saw... Of course, he's still got Devontae Adams. Alan Lazard made big strides last year. Robert Tonyan made big strides last year. Those two are developing into very good players.
And they got Randall Cobb back. Yeah.
Right, and you still got Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon at running back. That's going to help you a lot. You're going to be... This Packers team is going to be just fine. You know? And I'm not sure. I mean, the defense is... not. I'm not really sure. I mean, you've got Jair Alexander, I believe, is how you pronounce that. Kenny Clark, who's one of the best D tackles in football. Preston Smith is a great edge rusher. I in my eyes, Za'Darius Smith is another one of those guys. Good linebacker, good edge rusher. I like, and I would say I like the Packers a little bit more in this one.
All right, fair enough. Sunday night football, Chicago Bears at the L.A. Rams. Rams are a 7.5-point favorite. The Bears are going to be starting Andy Dalton, and that's all you really need to know about who to pick in this game. I'm going to go with the Rams here. I think Matthew Stafford is going to have an absolutely incredible game against the Bears defense in his first game as a Ram in Los Angeles. So I'm going to go with the Rams here.
Yep, Stafford had about the first decade of his career wasted in Detroit,
yeah, thanks, Detroit,
because he didn't have a lot of talent around him. You know, he had Calvin Johnson. That was about it.
That didn't last long, though, yeah.
He had Marvin Jones for a little bit. That was about it. You know, and he had T.J. Hockenson the last 2 years. That was about it. Matthew Stafford is now playing on the best team he's played on in his entire career with a great defense, maybe the most talented defense in the NFL, at least on paper, you know. You've got the best player in the NFL, in my eyes, in Aaron Donald, playing on the defensive line. The best cornerback in football in Jalen Ramsey. I thoroughly believe that this is going to be a blowout. The Rams are going to win this game, and the Bears are going to be left scratching their heads, thinking, do we need to go to Justin Fields sooner than we thought?
I don't think they're going to make that decision after 1 week. I think they'll make that decision maybe 3 or 4 weeks, like if they're starting like 1-3 or, you know, 0-4, I think then they'll go to Justin Fields, but...
I'm not saying they will go to Justin Fields, but the wheels are going to start turning in their heads when they lose this one by 30 on Sunday Night Football.
What if they win with Andy Dalton? Talk about game managers. That defines Andy Dalton, ladies and gentlemen. Monday Night Football, Ravens at the Raiders. Ravens are a 4-point favorite, and they have, like, I think 4 running backs left on their depth chart or whatever. I'm going to take the Baltimore and their, like, 5th and 6th string running backs being Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell in this game in Las Vegas.
I'm really having some difficulty with this one. Josh Jacobs is currently questionable to play for the Raiders, which, you know, is a tough thing. Richie Incognito is questionable at left guard for the Raiders as well. Ah, man. This is great radio. I'm just sitting here having to make audible.
Bro, like, we're not even radio. We're doing podcast.
Yeah, but it's still audio. They still can't see us.
Right.
So me just in an aisle and just to let the people know that I'm thinking, you know, just inaudible noises that I'm making.
Human noises, yeah. 4-point favorite. The line on that is 50.5.
They've got the Ravens as 4-point favorites.
Yeah, Ravens are a 4-point favorite on the road.
Interesting. When was the last time that was updated? Was that updated today?
Let me see, was that updated here before
Marcus Peters and Gus Edwards both tore their ACLs?
So the opening line was in June, and it had Baltimore as a 4-point favorite. And currently, as of yesterday, September 9th, they still have them as 4-point favorites, but a 1 point less over under. It was 51.5, now it's 50.5.
I mean, you still have Deshaun Elliott and Marlon Humphrey on defense. You know, Malik Harrison, Patrick Queen, who I think could be a very, very good linebacker. Justin Houston, who's going to be more of a primary edge rusher,
yeah,
sub linebacker type guy. That offensive line is very strong. Ronnie Stanley, Kevin Zeitler, Alejandro Villanueva. Orlando Brown plays for somebody else now.
I know exactly. I had to throw that in there, but yeah, go ahead.
I'll go with the Ravens too.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson's still your quarterback. You got Hollywood Brown, Sammy Watkins, Devin Duvernay, and Marcus Andrews to throw to. Or Mark Andrews, excuse me. The offensive line's strong. You've got one of the best fullbacks in the NFL in Patrick Ricard. For a Ravens team that is still relies very heavily on a running back because they like to run the football. And, you know, maybe I'm a little bit excited to see how Tyson Williams plays.
Yeah,
hopefully
he plays well for your fantasy.
I'm starting him for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, you have no choice.
I'm just rolling the dice and starting him. I put him in over Sony Michel because he's now like sort of the guy. Now I will say they do have Latavius Murray as well.
So
I don't know. I just think that, you know, Latavius Murray has gotten a lot of carries in the last few years playing for the Saints.
Yeah.
So who knows? He may get some carries as well, but I like the Ravens. I agree with you.
All right, final one, and we saved the best for last here. Browns at the Chiefs. Looking at the line here, the Chiefs are the favorite. Only 5.5, though. The opening, like the over under is 54.5. So Vegas is predicting this one to be a shootout, and rightfully so. Look, the Browns are going to be improved this year. I think they're going to have one of the better records in the AFC and possibly win their division. But Chiefs just came off a Super Bowl loss. Ooh. But the Browns are really talented on both ends of the ball. I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go with the Chiefs here.
Yeah, got to go with the Chiefs. And I say it like that. It really is a little bit. I mean, there is a little bit more thought that needs to go into that. Mm-hmm. You know, Baker Mayfield put together the best year of his career so far last year. Completed 63% of his passes for 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks. You know, had his lowest interception rate of his career last year after throwing for 21 interceptions in 2019 and 14 in 2018. He's definitely much improved. They've got strong running back room with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, you know, a strong wide receiver core in Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham. Can those two guys stay healthy? I don't know. A great offensive line, the best offensive line in football, I would say, and some talent defensively. Absolutely. But the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and Tyrann Mathieu. And a completely revamped offensive line with two All-Pro guys in Orlando Brown and Joe Thuney. So some things can, some definitely, you know, it's one of those things. I still think the Chiefs are going to win this game because of Patrick Mahomes and because of they have the talent at the top, the cream, right?
The cream rises
to the top. You know, the top of that talent pool. Looking at both teams. The Chiefs are the better team over the Browns.
I'm so glad the NFL is back. It's fun picking these games. It was fun watching that game. I want every NFL game to be like the one we saw last night. Like, even as a Cowboys fan, I was just like, that was fun to watch. That really was. Now, it's also fun to watching your baseball team win. Your favorite baseball teams. Yes. Switching totally different sports here, football to baseball. Both teams were in action last night, Cardinals and Royals, and Cardinals, you know, I don't know if you call this series a win or not. You split the series 2-1, or 2-2, excuse me, against the Dodgers. You win last night 2-1. Tyler O'Neill hitting a solo home run in the fifth that really decided the game for the Cardinals. Alex Reyes got the win last night. That's funny. Oh, man. Poor Alex Reyes. But no, in a pitching duel, the Cardinals win it by a final score of 2-1. They're back in action tonight against the Cincinnati Reds, who currently hold the second wild card spot, or a game behind the Padres for that second wild card spot. First pitch being set for 7:15. Tyler Mahle will go for the Reds. John Lester for the Cardinals. As for the Royals' case, they win 6-0 last night. Carlos Hernandez once again looked outstanding. 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, no earned runs. Did walk through, which is kind of questionable, but strikes out 1. Nicky Lopez hit his second home run of the season, turning into a major power hitter. Jordan Dozier hit his 11th of the season in front of...
Well, what are we laughing at?
It's the Orioles, so I shouldn't be surprised by this, but it's just so funny looking at it. In front of a capacity crowd of 5,087 fans at Camden Yards. That's minor league baseball attendance numbers.
Yeah.
Though, to be fair, the Orioles kind of have a minor league team there themselves.
Whoa!
So, yeah, no, that's a bit of a zinger.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. Royals are back in action tonight as they head off to Minnesota. Minnesota. They play the Twins. Yep,
going to Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. First pitch being set for 7:10. Daniel Lynch for the Royals. And Gavin Jax, I believe is his first name. Yeah, Gavin Jax for the Twins. But... Logan, Cardinals, and Royals victorious yesterday, in their respective places.
Yeah, first of all, for the Cardinals, that's what you needed. You know, you couldn't win the series, but you made it a wash. You know, you split a four-game series against...
No harm, no foul.
One of the best teams in Major League Baseball, in the Los Angeles Dodgers. You avoid losing the series. You keep yourself well in contention for that wild card spot. That's what you were looking for. And you won the last two games of this series after losing the first two games. So you're riding a little bit of momentum going into a huge series now against the Cincinnati Reds. You know, you had games in that series where you scored a ton of runs, and a game like last night where it was a pitching duel. You won in multiple different ways in yesterday's game and as well as Wednesday's game. That is sort of that's a momentum boost. You know that you've found ways to win in very different ways in back-to-back days against one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. You are still, like I said, very much in that race. You know, the Padres currently have that wild card spot right now. They're a game up on the Cincinnati Reds, who are in second. But the Cardinals are only 3 games back. You are right there. You win this series against the Reds, you're going to pass Cincinnati, and you're now the second team behind the Padres. And even, I mean, who do the Padres play in their upcoming series now?
The Dodgers. You gotta make up ground if you're St. Louis.
You win this series against Cincinnati. The Padres, taking a look at it, probably gonna lose this series to the Dodgers. And then you're right there.
Gotta make up
ground.
You are
in it. You are fully in it. You might be leading it.
So right now, as the wild card standings look, you know, honestly on both sides, because like looking at these races at the end of September, it's so just fun to watch. So right now, obviously in the NL, you have the LA Dodgers as the one seed, the number one wild card. Padres are the two right now. The Reds are a game back at number 3. The Cardinals are 3 games back at number 4. And the Phillies are 3.5 back in that fifth spot. In the AL, which is a lot more interesting than the NL is, you got the Red Sox at the number one wild card spot, but they're only a game up of the second wild card team, which is the New York Yankees. And then you have 3 teams below the Yankees that are at most 2 games back of them.
Wow.
You have the Blue Jays at a half game back of the Yankees. Then you have the Oakland Athletics, who are 2 games back. And then, get this, the Seattle Mariners. Seattle, the Mariners, are a potential playoff team. They are 2 games back of that second wild card spot. Oh, God. The sports world right now is just incredible. I love it. You got postseason, or you're not in postseason yet, but you're kind of racing towards the end of the finish at baseball. You got football going on right now. Oh, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love sports. All right. I know we're running up on a bit of time here, but it's also Friday, which means we have just a little bit more time for Funky Headline Friday. Spearheaded, I should say, by the Logan Weber. I'm ready for my mind to be blown. I'm ready to Control-Alt-Delete everything that I know about life and my existence and everything. Logan, what do you got?
I'm absolutely ready for this. All right, first one I've got for you is a weird headline for me because it's one of my biggest fears on the planet. Okay?
Oh, biggest fears. We're going to get deep into the mind of Logan Weber.
Fallen tree causes hundreds of bees to swarm a Florida house.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
You're afraid of bees?
Terrified. And that is set very much so because of my dad. My dad's terrified of 2 things, bees and snakes. And if he's around a bee or a snake, I mean, gone. I mean, sprints away. I mean, I always remember this story. We used to keep our weed eater in the gas can for the weed eater in our shed in our backyard. Dad went back that we were mowing the yard. Dad went back into the shed to get the weed eater in the gas can, and there was a snake up on a shelf in our shed. And I saw my dad, weed eater in his left hand, gas can in his right hand. I bet he ran a 4.5. I mean, he was
gone.
Moving. I have never seen him run that fast in my life. He was so scared of that snake. He took off, and bees the same way. We were at a playground when I was a kid, and big old swarm of bees, and dad like jumped like 15 feet off of this like little hill, like little porch thing to get away from these bees. I mean, terrified. And so that sort of rubbed off on me. I absolutely hate bees. So this story like made my entire body shiver when I read this story.
Imagine you're just straight up just sleeping like about, or you're getting ready for work, and all of a sudden just a tree comes down. You're thinking, oh my God, a tree's in my bathroom, in my bedroom. And then all of a sudden a swarm of bees comes at you. Ooh.
Mm-mm.
No, thank you. Yeah, I'm not a fan of bees. I'm not terrified of them. I'll just like, if they're near me, I'll like swat them away. Now, I'm terrified of bumblebees, though, because those things, if they sting you, ooh, ouch. But yeah. And thankfully, I don't live like in proximity of like a tree falling down on my duplex. So, you know, thankful for that. All right, what do you got for the next headline?
All right. Next one I've got for you is just straight up weird, and I don't like it.
Is it like a Florida man headline? Or
it is not, no.
Dang.
It could be. I don't know.
But yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
A jar of Elvis Presley's hair sold for $72,500 at auction.
A jar of hair.
A literal jar of hair.
First off, I want to know who's the weirdo that has a jar of hair of Elvis. And second off, I want to know the weirdo that would pay $72,000 for that
stuff. I'm not sure who's more weird in that situation. The person that just like got that and had it, or the person that bought it. Either way, I mean, they both...
Must have been like a barber or something that cut Elvis's hair or something, or... A jar of... And $72,000. You could do a lot with $72,000.
Yeah.
Yet you waste it on hair from a deceased person, or so they say.
Absolutely disgusted.
Yeah.
It was collected over the course of multiple haircuts by Homer Gilliland, Presley's personal barber for more than two decades. The hair was kept in a plastic bag by Gilliland, who then gifted it to Thomas Morgan, a close friend of both the barber and the singer.
Thomas, you are a weird SOB. You know that? Ugh. Hair going for $72,000. You know, I will say this, though. If I know that, like, my personal effects, like my hair, are going for, like, five to six figures at an auction, I know I've had a good life. I know I've led a very, very good life with a lot of money in my pocket. All right.
Earlier in that auction... Elvis's iconic jumpsuit from his 1972 performance at Madison Square Garden for over $1 million.
Seven figures. Ooh.
$1,012,500.
Sheesh. People got way too much money to
must
waste.
Must be nice to have that much money just floating around.
Just a waste. If I make $1 million in my lifetime, I'll know I've had a good life. All right, what do you got for the next one? I know we're kind of running up on
time
here.
Here we go. Rhino escapes from enclosure at Nebraska Zoo.
How does a rhino... Okay, first off, how does someone not notice the rhino, like, escaping from a zoo and, like, catch it? But then again, how the hell are you supposed to catch an animal that big? But he was enclosed and somehow he escaped.
Yeah, he was outside of his enclosure for about 50 minutes.
Huh.
Hell no.
You know, I'd say about a zoo worker... Yeah, you know... I would just say, you know what?
Oh, it was the Henry Dorley Zoo.
What's the Henry Dorley
Zoo? That's the Omaha Zoo. Which is like one of the most famous zoos in the United States.
Okay.
I've been there multiple times.
Say, I have not. Yeah, I don't know the context of that.
Yeah. Said in a face... The zoo announced in a Facebook post that an adult male rhino had escaped from his enclosure at about 1 p.m. and was grazing on grass in a nearby area that's used only for zoo employees. Please tell me how he got out. He was out for about 50 minutes, but went back in on his own. Nobody got hurt, no animals hurt, so everything went well. He escaped through a gate that had not been properly locked.
Of course. Yeah. Thankfully, he went back in there on his own, because, like I said, how the hell do you get that thing back in the enclosure?
I don't know. There's a lot of animals at a zoo.
Yeah. And no, thank you. I'm not going to be one of those to be voluntarily trying to get... Yeah. A rhino back in there.
Top five animals that you would not want to see get out of their enclosure at a zoo. Rhino has got to be in that top five.
Along with like elephants, lions, tigers, like
pumas.
Bears. Yeah.
Yes. Lions, ooh, pumas? Tigers, and bears. Yeah. Did you just really just pull out a Wizard of Oz quote
of course.
For no reason?
My mother's
lions,
listening.
Tigers, and bears, oh my.
Yeah, my mother's listening, so I have to pull out that Wizard
absolutely.
Of Oz. That's her, like,
absolutely
that's
hysterical.
Her top movie of all time. And she is a freak for the Wizard of Oz. And Mom, Susan, I love you. But she has, like, plates, dolls, memorabilia all around her duplex, dude. Oh, my goodness. All right, I know we're running up on time. You got enough time for one more?
We got time for one more.
All right, what do you got?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. All right. This one just straight up freaks me out because I hate these also, okay? Company seeks candidate to make $1,300 by watching 13 horror movies. I hate horror movies.
$1,300 for 13 horror movies. So what, that'd be like $100 per movie?
$100 a movie.
I'd take it.
Well, yeah. I don't know anybody who wouldn't, aside from like me and other people who hate scary movies.
Trust me, I don't like horror movies too, but you know, $1,300 is $1,300, dude.
I mean, that's fair.
That's a month's pay here, yeah.
We went and got groceries yesterday, my fiance and I.
At your new apartment?
Yep, at the new apartment. We were getting groceries, and we were walking by, right, like going to different aisles and stuff, and they had like all the Halloween stuff out, decorations and this and that and the
in
other.
September,
like,
nonetheless.
Yeah, she's like, we need to start buying like decorations for stuff. And I was like, I'm not putting Halloween decorations up. I hate Halloween. It's my least favorite holiday, and it's not even close. I hate Halloween. Hate it. Absolutely hate it.
The only thing I hate about Halloween is like all the horror movies that are on every single TV channel. Because like a TNT, FX, AMC, FXX, Sci-Fi, they'll just have horror movie after horror movie after horror movie. I'm just like, dude, play something that's good, that's not a horror movie. Like you got Friday the 13th on one TV station, Freddy Krueger on another station, you got Halloween Town or Return to Halloween Town on the Disney Channel or something like that. You're like, I want something else to watch. I'm tired of horror movies.
Yeah, I don't like horror movies. And I don't like the fact that like Halloween gives creepy people an excuse to be creepy and nobody can do anything about it.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, it's like just a day where everybody can be super creepy. And that just allows creeps, like actual creepy people, to just sort of, you know, blend in.
Be in his natural habitat. Sort of, natural habitat, yeah.
It's the most crime-filled day in the United States every year.
Yeah,
Halloween.
Shocking.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I want no part of it.
Yeah.
I will sit in my house and play video games or, you know, watch non-horror movies on Halloween, but I will not be doing anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I usually do that as well. I'll just, like, play video games, and if we live in a neighborhood, so if, like, anybody comes to my door with their costumes, I'll give them candy, though. If you're, like 15 or 16 years old, like, if you're a high school kid and you come to my door asking for candy, I'm going to tell you to get a job and then close the door.
So?
Because, dude, you're, like, grow up. You're fair. Too old to get to be trick-or-treating. I outgrew that ship whenever I was 13. I said, all right, I'm 13 years old. I'm in junior high. That's enough. I've had my fun.
Agreed. So they are putting applications are being accepted for this thing through September 26th. The winning candidate picked on October 1st. The lucky candidate will be given $1,300 for their efforts. They will also be provided a Fitbit because that's the whole thing. They have to wear a Fitbit.
They're testing your heart rate?
Yep, rates and things like that. Yep. And a $50 gift card to cover the cost of the movie rentals. The movies that are being selected are Amityville Horror, A Quiet Place, A Quiet Place 2,
ooh,
Candyman, Insidious, The Blair Witch Project, Sinister, Get Out, The Purge, Paranormal Activity, and the remake, the 2018 remake of Halloween.
Ooh.
No. Thank
you. A Quiet Place would probably be my scariest. Like, my pulse would be up in the 120s or 130s with that. I don't think The Purge is actually that scary.
I've only seen maybe two of those.
Yeah.
I've seen Insidious, and I hated it. And I've seen Paranormal Activity. I went and saw Paranormal Activity in theaters when I was in middle school on Halloween. Hated it. I was terrified. I hated it.
Something I should do. I should just... If I don't want to work out, I'll just go to, like, the AMC theater here in Springfield or whatever, or go to the Alamo and just watch a horror movie. I'll get my calories burned there because my heart rate will be in the 150s or 160s watching those movies.
Yeah, I just remember, like, I mean, people, like, when we were in high school, they're like, let's go to the movie theater and watch a scary movie and, like, laugh at people when they jump during the movies. Well, no, I don't want to do that because you're going to be laughing at me, okay? I'm going to jump. Being in high school, take a girl to the movies or whatever, you know? I'm not going to take a girl to a horror movie. I'm not going to take my fiance to a horror movie because I'm going to jump more than she does.
Yeah.
Okay, she's going to have to comfort me because I'm going to nearly pee my pants watching a horror movie. I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. I'll watch a funny movie, an action movie. I'll watch a suspense movie, but I do not like horror movies, scary movies, jump scares, stuff like that. I hate it. I jump during Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter to death, but there are scenes in Harry Potter where I legitimately jump scare. Like, I don't...
Ugh.
I hate horror movies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, it's...
I therapy session Thursday'd a little bit
That's
there.
Fine. That's fine. Of course, that was the Friday edition of Friday Funky Headlines, and I think we're right about 5 past the hour here, noontime here in Missouri. I think be a good time to call it a week. What do you got planned for the weekend if you have any time to share that information?
So, I am... Of course, tonight, I will be with John Hartley, the... now head baseball coach at Greenwood Laboratory School, as well as a co-host of Heart to Heart here on the Jock Station every Thursday. He and I are going to be at Nixa High School, as will you, Matt, calling the Willard at Nixa game. That one kicking off at 7 o'clock. I'm going to get there a little early because I don't know if you're if you know this, Matt, and just something for our listeners, because it's a really, really cool thing that they're doing. Nixa High School is doing a 9/11 tribute.
Okay.
You know, doing about a 15-minute tribute that will end with the national anthem, and they have bought two spotlights that they will put next to each other and point up to the sky to represent the Twin Towers that fell during 9/11. I mean, it's going to be a really cool tribute. So that's supposed to start at around 6:30 or 6:45, according to some people I talked to at Nixa High School. So going to get there a little early for that. Then I work tomorrow morning here at the Jock Station doing, you know, some babysitting duties, making sure we're on the air, stuff like that, 9 to 3, you know, and then back to the apartment because at 3:30 p.m., Iowa State.
Cyclones Hawkeyes.
The Cy-Hawk rivalry will kick off. Two top 10 teams, college game day in town in Ames. Can't wait to watch my Hawkeyes beat the Cyclones. And then Sunday I will do absolutely nothing. I might make a tee time for Sunday. Go play some golf on Sunday. Yeah. Might do that.
There you go. Yeah, Friday, like you said, I'll be at Nixa as well. I'll be doing the game on WillardTigers.net. So those who are listening, you can make your pick. Listen to the lovely monotones of Logan Weber on ESPN The Jock. Or actually, no, you're going to be on 560
we'll be on
AM.
560,
yeah, that's right, that's right. Or also on, you know, the Jock app or however else you also listen to us. Or you can listen to yours truly on WillardTigers.net. Fair warning, if you do listen to me, I gave you a warning. There's nothing else to say about that. and then Saturday, you know, Saturday's going to be kind of hectic. Like me, a buddy of mine and his buddy is coming down from Kansas City, and we're going to shoot some guns. We don't know when, though. It's supposed to be hot on Saturday, so we may do it early in the morning just to avoid the heat. Depending on when I'm done with that, I may go to the MSU game. Of course, they're facing off against Arkansas State, I believe. They're not. It's not Arkansas State. Gosh darn it, who they're playing. I know. You had your moment of great radio. Now it's my turn. The Purple Bears. I can't think of where they are. They're from Arkansas.
Is it Purple Bears? Central Arkansas?
Central Arkansas, thank you. The Central Arkansas Purple Bears, they're facing off against MSU. MSU, I think, is ranked 23, and Central Arkansas is ranked 19, so it should be a good matchup there, so I may attend that if I have time. And then Sunday, one of my better friends from high school is going to have a going-away party. She's going to be a nanny in New Amsterdam. She's going to go to Europe and get paid to be a nanny over there, so I'm looking forward to being with her next Sunday, or this upcoming Sunday. She's going to have a going away party, and the theme is SpongeBob SquarePants. So I have to find something that's yellow or pink or something that is SpongeBob related. But that's how my weekend's going to go. And I think it's time we go ahead and wrap up this edition of the Friday Sports Report, Rookie Sports Report podcast. Logan, always a pleasure. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Absolutely.
For Logan Weber, I'm Matthew Rizzo. Enjoy all the football this weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Go Hawks!